Why don't we give Sherry a hand there? What a beautiful prelude. Are you all ready to sing this morning? Hey, that's pretty good. I've taught you well. You're responding well. We're going to start it up, beat again, with the song we introduced last week. Get all excited. Let's sing it together.
Get all excited.
Go tell everybody.
Jesus Christ is King. Well, get all excited. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings.
Clap your hands.
Get all excited. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings.
Well, we talk about people, we talk about things that really aren't important at all, and we talk about the weather, talk about problems at home and abroad. Well, friend, I'm excited about a solution for the world. I'm gonna shout and sing that Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings.
Well, get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings.
One more time.
Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. Oh, Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings.
Amen. Well, good singing this morning. Wow, thank you. What about my two beautiful helpers here? How about them, twins? Amen. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord to worship Him this morning, isn't it? Amen. I'm excited about service. I always look forward to these times of communion where we can just take some time to just honor the Lord and remember what He's done for us. We're going to sing a song. I know we've sang this before. It's a relatively new chorus, but it's entitled Shout to the Lord, All the Earth, Let Us Sing. Let's sing together.
To the Lord, all ye earth, let us sing.
power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hand. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. And nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Of your mighty love, my comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath and all that I am never cease to
mountains bow down and the seas
roar at the sound of your name.
And I sing for joy
at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. And nothing compares to the promise I have. No, nothing compares to the promise I have. Oh, nothing compares to the promise I have. Yeah.
Promise we have in him.
And death could not hold you, the veil torn before you, silence the voice of sin and rage. And the heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. And you have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. And yours is the kingdom, and yours is the power, yours is the name above all names.
What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. And what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Lord, we are excited to be in your house and to worship you and to praise the name that is above every name. Lord, we just give you our hearts and our lives today. We offer ourselves unto you. Lord, we're thankful that we can come to the table of the Lord in a little while. Prepare our hearts. Lord, look into us this morning. Examine us and know our faults, know our ways. And Lord, we're thankful today for the grace and the love. And Father, I pray this morning that every person that's in the sound of my voice would know that Jesus loves them, that Jesus has a purpose and a plan, and that you have something good in store for them this morning. So Lord, we dedicate this day in our lives to you in Jesus' name. Well, good morning and praise the Lord. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord today as we turn this rec hall into a recreation place and center for the Lord. And I just want to take a moment to welcome any new friends that are with us today. If this is your very first time at Nettles Island Church upstairs with us, never been here before, we are delighted to have you. We've got a little gift that we give to all of our first-time friends, and our ushers are ready to go with that. And all I need you to do is slip a hand up and hold it up until we get this little gift. It's a little promise book that you will enjoy. It will just take you to the scriptures that you need when you need them. Anybody here today, first time? Very first time. Anybody? All right. Well, let's give ourselves a hand for being regulars this morning. Amen. 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 Praise God. I want to take a moment this morning just to welcome new members. And we're excited about the new members that are here with us today. And some of you are in this service. Some will be in the second service. And as I call their names out, if you're in this service, would you stand to your feet? And after they're all standing that are here, we're going to welcome you and we're going to applaud you today. So first, and in no significant order, you can see I didn't alphabetize this in any way, but I'm going to start at the top left. David and Teresa Monahan, they're here today. Dick and Nancy Geerlings. Where are Dick and Nancy? I saw them. Jack and Dee Dee Chore. There's Dee Dee. She's here. Jack couldn't make it. Jim and Sally Whittle. Second service. And Joni Mulry. Joni's here. Let's just welcome them this morning. God bless all of you. Amen. Thank you for joining and coming and becoming a part, taking that next step, because I mean, we're family here, and everybody that comes to church here makes this a part of their life as family. And then we have that second step of membership. And so those of you that have come into membership this today officially, in the back table, back at the information desk, there is a little certificate of membership in a folder. Your name is on the back of that. When you leave today, please pick that up. And welcome, welcome, welcome into membership at Nettles Island. I want to take a moment now to mention something that's very, very important. And in the bulletin, it asks for you to pray about this. And I want you to be in prayer for the next several weeks. I mean, really, whenever you're praying, if it's for a meal, if it's your normal prayer time early in the morning, before bed, when you're kneeling and praying, I want you to remember in prayer John and Janet Persey, who will be leaving for Peru. Would you guys stand this morning and remain standing? I want to talk about you in just a moment. And then next week is Dick and Nancy Geerlings are going to be going to Guatemala, and they're back in the back, and they joined church just today. But we're going to pray for you guys next week. But I want to mention what's going on with some of this and all of this morning. The Perseys, and I can't say the name of the town, so I'm going to leave it out because I will butcher it. They're headed to Peru. They're leaving on the 17th, so they're going to be out of here in a couple of days, and they won't be here next Sunday morning. They will be ministering, doing missionary work in Peru. There's a team of 21 that will be going together with them from Northwest Indiana, and they're going to be building a steel structure in addition to the church that they've already built there in Peru. They're in the jungle. They're in the Amazon jungle. The only way to get there is by boat. And I'm thinking like little canoe with a, you know, I hope they're not paddling. They've got at least a motor on it. But they're going to get there by riverboat. There are 500,000 people that need to be reached for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And these guys are heroes. I want you to see that. Anybody that goes around the world to share the gospel of Jesus Christ is a hero of the faith. And so I asked them to remain standing because I'm going to pray for them right now. And would you stand with me as a congregation in faith? And if you're standing nearby them and you feel comfortable to do this, would you just take a step over or reach a hand forward? Would somebody just lay a hand on this couple? The Bible talks about unity, and we're just going to unify our faith. We want God to protect them. We want God to give them health and safety and give them opportunities like they've never seen to share the gospel of Jesus. And they have a lot of equipment that needs to get through customs, and God needs to work miracles in that. And so let's pray together. Father, thank you for John and for Janet. Thank you that they're part of our fellowship in the winter months, that they're with us. And God, I am so thankful and excited this morning that they have said yes, and they say yes each year as they go back to Peru to minister with their team. And God, as we pray over them today, I just pray that the hedge of Jesus Christ, the protection through the blood of Jesus, would surround this couple and their team and each one that will be working in the ministries and the ministers that are there in Peru that are there full time. God, I pray today that you'll secure their safety. I pray that you'll protect them as they fly, as they travel, as they go by riverboat, as they're walking, as they're moving about, that the angels of the Lord will surround them and protect them, oh God. And I pray this morning that you will keep them safe and keep them healthy and just watch over their bodies, Lord. Let their immune system be strong and keep them from any illnesses and sicknesses, oh God. And I pray that you'll just begin to open doors and people will be hungry to hear the good news, the gospel, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Father, we just cover them today with our prayers and with our love, and we ask you to cover them with your blood and watch over them as they go. And Lord, we just are excited for what you'll do, and we'll look forward to a good report when they come back to join us in about a week or so, a little over a week. Now, God, we just commit them into your hands. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you guys, and thank you all for praying. Continue to pray. Amen. You may be seated. I do want to mention today, in your bulletin, there are tons of announcements, lots of announcements. I'm not going to go there, not going to read them all to you for sake of time. I will say that if you have not had your picture taken, we need that picture. We want you in the photo directory. That will help me immensely so that I can place faces and names together and start to really work on that. And that'll be my project this summer. And it's the 24th, no? Oh, I don't read lips well. Okay, today, 12 to 1:30, East Rec Hall, and then the February 10th. All right, so make sure, please, if you've not gotten your picture, you can dress up or you can go casual. It doesn't matter. You do what you want to do, but we want you to be in there. You don't have to be a member. This could be one of your first services with us, but if you're making a commitment, you want to be part of us, you're here just in the wintertime, that's okay. We want you in our church family directory, so if you could help us, that'd be great. And then the last announcement, and it's there, it's an insert, so I'm not going to take a lot of time. Just mark your calendars. We're going to be excited to have the Inspiration Quartet coming to join us in just a couple of weeks. Amen. Steve, I'm going to let you lead us back into worship this morning. God bless all of you as we continue to worship.
Amen. As we're thinking about communion this morning, we're going to sing this old hymn, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus this morning.
Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to be moving quite a bit. You're going to get Bible exercise, Bible calisthenics this morning, but that's a good thing, and the scriptures will be up here for the most part. But if you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 14 for just a moment. And today is Communion Sunday, and typically on Communion Sunday, we spend our time just focused around the table. And so our message is more of a devotion, and I'm taking my text out of Mark 14 and then going beyond that. But as we approach the Lord's table this morning, together to share in communion and fellowship with Him and one another, I want to read out of Mark's Gospel a few verses of Scripture that of the last night that Jesus would spend together with His disciples as they shared the Passover over together in the upper room. And it was after that that Jesus finished and they went out to the Mount of Olives, and then the process of the arrest and all that took place happened. But Mark talks about this moment, and it's around the table of the Lord. Jesus is there with His 12, and the Bible says in verse 22 that while they were eating, that Jesus took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it, and He gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take it, this is My body." And then He took a cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," He said to them. "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." I thought about that last verse, and I want to talk to you a little bit about the blood of Jesus today, verse 24. But in verse 25, He says to them, and He's carrying this out in our lifetime, He said, "I will not drink again, I'll not partake of this again until I drink it anew with you in the kingdom." So here we are participating today, but Jesus is refraining, and He's waiting until that day when God brings the church home. And at the marriage supper of the Lamb, I believe that there'll be communion, and Jesus will lead that for us. But this morning, I want to focus for just a few moments on the wonderful working power in the blood of Jesus. Jesus said, "This is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." Well, a fellow by the name of Lewis E. Jones wrote a beautiful hymn in 1899, and we still sing that in our church today. The hymn is titled "Power in the Blood." Power in the Blood. And the chorus or the refrain of that says, "There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb." There's power, 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 wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And so I'm going to talk to you about the blood of the Lamb and the wonderful power. There's wonderful power in the blood of the Lamb today. And there are three things that I see as we come to the table of the Lord. And I want you to just receive this in your thought and into your heart today and allow the Holy Spirit to just bless you as we come to the table. But the first thing that I see in the wonder-working power of the blood of Jesus is that it is a wonder-working power to save us. The blood of Jesus is what makes it possible for you and for me to be saved. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says this, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." We sing a lot about the grace of God and the mercy of God and how it's there for us, but it comes to us because of something that happened as the blood of Jesus was spilt and was shed. That's where the redemption or the purchase back. It's through the blood of a perfect and sinless Jesus, the Lamb of God, that we have been redeemed. And that word redeemed is just a word that means forgiven or saved or restored or bought back, and we've been bought back, and we've been set free from our past of violating God's perfect law. I look around this room, and I start with myself, and there's not one of us in this room that has ever lived every day of our lives in perfection and measured up to the perfect law of God. We've all fallen short. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But it's through the blood of Jesus Christ that we are purchased back. And even though we did violate and we have violated the law, and at times we still may violate the law, hopefully not on purpose, but it happens. We find that it was Jesus who came and He suffered and died in our place for our sins. But how do we honestly and rightfully exactly become the recipients of the riches of His grace? Well, Romans tells us that in chapter 3, 25, verse 25. It says, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement. That word atonement, compensation, or the price of our punishment. That God presented Christ as a sacrifice of compensation through the shedding of His blood to be received by faith. And so we receive this gift of God's amazing grace through faith in Jesus our Savior, that His sacrifice and His shed blood at the cross, His death, met God the Father's requirements. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22 says this. It says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. The blood had to be shed. Jesus' physical blood that was spilled on a hill outside the city gates of Jerusalem at a place called Calvary is the means by which men and women enter into relationship with God. The blood of Jesus is so powerful that it not only delivered us from our past life of sin, but it continues to cleanse us from all sin. Whatever sins you and I may stumble into and commit, the blood of Jesus is so powerful and efficacious that it redeems us and it takes care of those sins. And it says in 1 John 1:17 that if we walk in the light as He, Jesus, is in the light and He is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and look at this, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all our sin, past, present, future. So the wonder-working power of the blood of Jesus cleanses us and saves us from sin and redeems us back to God. The second thing is that the wonder-working power of the blood of Jesus does is then it begins to sanctify us. Now, sanctification is a daily process. Salvation is an experience that happens when we put our faith and our trust in what Jesus did at the cross, and we put our faith and say, you're going to be Savior and Lord of my life. But sanctification is something that can only happen to you after you've been saved. That's where the Holy Spirit begins to work in our lives as we yield to Him. You know, there are people that think that they have to clean their lives up so that they can come to the cross and come to Christ and so they can be saved. But that's heresy. That's false teaching. The Bible says, come just as we are. Come with all of our wrong. Come with all of our sin. Come with all of our stain. And just come as we are with all the sin that we possess and yield to God and humble ourselves and say, Lord, would you save me? And He does. And then He begins to change us. And that's what sanctification is. And so the Holy Spirit is the one who works in us to bring us in nature and character into the image of Christ. So He can work into us that nature, and He works out of us those things that are unbecoming and displeasing to the Lord. I heard a preacher one time relate it like this years ago. He said, I am saved, I am being saved, and I shall be saved. Now you say, wait a second. Wait, am I saved or am I not saved? Well, I understood what he said. The moment that we confess Jesus, salvation takes place. But then the sanctification starts, and I need to become more like him. So I am saved, but I am being saved or sanctified. I am becoming more like him. And then there's that day that's going to come when God is going to call us home. And in the calling of us home, we get those glorified bodies, those new bodies. And those new bodies are not made of flesh and blood. And we can't sin anymore. There'll be no tempter in heaven. There'll be no sin in heaven. And we will be righteous and perfect and eternally saved. So I am saved, and I'm secure in that. I am being changed, I'm being saved, that pastor said, and I shall be saved. You see, justification, that's just as if I never sinned. The salvation is instantaneous the moment we believe. Sanctification, which the blood does, the wonder-working power sanctifies us, is a lifelong process. It takes place day by day, month by month, year by year, as we surrender and as we yield our lives to God, asking Him to make us more like Jesus. And just as the blood of Jesus justifies us, it sanctifies us and purifies and makes us holy. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12 addresses that. It says this, it says, so Jesus also suffered outside the gate, outside of the city of Jerusalem, the wall and the gates, in order to sanctify the people through His own blood. You see, it's the work of the blood of Jesus that the Holy Spirit is able then to work and accomplish His work in us to make us holy and to make us righteous. One of the things that I said last week is that as we seek first the kingdom of God, where do you want to be a year from now? Do you want to be the same Christian you are? Do you want to have the same relationship with Jesus and only know Him at this level? Or do you want to have a deeper relationship? Do you want to understand His Word better? Do you want to be a better prayer warrior? Those are all things God will do in us as He sanctifies us and cleans us and makes us more and more like Jesus. And so secondly, the wonder-working power of the blood sanctifies us. And then thirdly, there's wonder-working power to secure us in the blood of Jesus. You say, secure me from what? From whom? Well, from Satan and his minions and the powers of darkness. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 tells us this, and we need to understand this as believers. We're in a war. We're in a battle. It says, for our struggle, and that word struggle is a Greek word that means warfare, and it really means hand-to-hand combat. That means that the enemy's not going to be down the street shooting howitzer missiles or rockets your way. He's going to be right there trying to take you down, grabbing at your heels, grabbing at your ankles, trying to push you over a hill somewhere. He's going to be right there, hand-to-hand combat. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil that dwell in the heavenly realms. Now, we've seen for years now through the movie industry in Hollywood how it's glorified the devil and demons through all kinds of wicked and horrible movies. They've portrayed the devil as some great mystic, some supernatural power that is all but impossible to defeat and to banish. But I've got good news this morning. Nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing. As Christians and followers of Jesus Christ, we know we can know the truth, but those Christians who don't know or don't understand the power that's in the blood of Jesus Christ are easily fooled into believing the lies that Hollywood and others portray, that even though they've given their hearts to Jesus, they can be a Christian and yet be getting beat up all the time by the enemy because they don't know about the power that's in the blood of Jesus Christ to defeat the work of the enemy. And so what they do is there are Christians that go through life, they love Jesus, but they're holding on with their fingernails while the devil is beating their brains out. And the blood of Jesus was offered to give us victory over that. The Bible tells us in John 10, verse 10, chapter 10, verse 10, that the thief, that's the devil, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they, that's you and me, we're the they in that they may have life and have it a full or abundantly. Jesus came. That doesn't mean a perfect life. That doesn't mean we won't have difficulties. We won't have to pray that God will heal us at times and set us free or provide certain things. The tests of life will come. But there's an abundant life in God that comes through the sacrifice of Jesus at the cross and the blood that was spilt that gives us victory over every work of the enemy. I love the promise that God gives us of victory over all the powers of darkness and the devil in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. It says this, and it's talking about the saints of God, and you and I today are saints of God, and this is true for us, and this is powerful for us, and you and I need to apply these two things, and they will defeat the enemy every time he comes against you and tries to take you out or take you down or destroy or defeat or discourage your life. The Bible says in Revelation 12, 11, that they, that's us, the saints, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You know how Jesus defeated the devil right when he was ready to start his ministry. After he was baptized in the Jordan River by John, the Bible says that he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days. And in those 40 days, Satan came to him and tried to defeat him. And every time he came with a temptation or to try to defeat him, Jesus responded back, what? It is written. The Word of God is powerful. And it defeats and it abolishes strongholds that come against us. And when you stand with the Word of God and you speak the Word of God, when that dark hour comes that the enemy is attacking you, and you find that promise, you find that hope, you find that Word of God in Scripture, and you begin to read it out loud and speak it out loud and say, Satan, the Word of God, the Word of my, this is my testimony. I am a child of God, and this is God's promise for me. And this Word defeats you in Jesus' name. And then put the icing on the cake and say, Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Oh, hallelujah. I just feel such a presence of God when I talk about this. You see, the greatest event in human history is the day that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He changed everything. His death on the cross, the shedding of his blood, effectively turned the tables on Satan. We read once again from the book of Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. It says that so that by his death, he might break the power of him, that's the devil, who holds the power of death. That is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. By his death, by the death of Jesus, he breaks the power of the devil. You see, church, when Jesus hanging on the cross 2,000 years ago, going through all the torment and the suffering that he did for you and for me so that he could be the sacrificial gift to God, that God could accept him perfect and pure and holy and righteous, the last thing he says is, it is finished. When he said that, the earth shook. The kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of hell began to shake, because in that moment, as he closed his eyes in death, becoming the supreme and ultimate sacrifice, the devil knew that he had lost not the battle, but the war. He was summarily rendered powerless as it pertains to a child of God. And so I summarize this morning by saying this: the wonder-working power of the blood of Jesus, it saves us from our sins. It sanctifies us. It's the working agent that makes us more like Jesus. And then it shields us and protects us from Satan's power and evil plans. Saints, the blood of Jesus Christ is both precious and powerful and will remain so through all of eternity. Amen.
To the Lamb, and all who've gone before us and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Oh, if you've been forgiven, and if you've been redeemed, sing the song forever to the Lamb. Oh, and if you walk in freedom, and if you bear His name, sing the song forever to the Lamb. Oh, we'll all sing holy, holy to the Lamb, and the angels cry, creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing, holy, to the King of Kings. Your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all. Oh, your thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. Yes, your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all. All the thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. The angels cry, holy, all creation cry, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing, holy, to the King of Kings, holy.
We're going to share communion together. The Lord is so holy this morning. He's so pure and so righteous. We honor Him and we love Him. And we take this time together to just celebrate Him. I do want to say this. And this is not to put fear in anybody. This is to be a correction for us, because we can do something positively wonderful in this moment. But 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when the Apostle Paul is talking to the Corinthian church, and that was a church with a lot of problems. They had a lot of worldly Christians in that church. They were struggling to live for God. They were struggling with that sanctification process. A lot of them didn't want it. So Paul had to address their communion service, and he said that when you come together to share in communion, examine your own heart. I'm not to examine anyone but myself, and you examine you. And this is our time, as just the music in the background plays, and just as we prepare to receive these elements, we examine our heart by saying, Lord, show me my heart. If I've got anything, if I've done anything or said anything that was hurtful or harmful, if I've got a sin in my life, show me so I can ask you to forgive me. And he forgives us. It's not that we're not saved, we are saved, but we're human. And so he says, if we don't do that, and then we come to the table and we partake in an unworthy manner, meaning that we're not, our hearts aren't right. We're just going through the motions of it, not thinking about the importance of it and what it really means, that there's a judgment that comes on that. People find themselves getting sick. The Bible even says that some even died before their time. In all the years that I've pastored, I've never seen that. I think God's grace and mercy covers. But we want to be right with God. That's part of what communion is. It's a time of examination. So we're going to pray in just a moment. But I want you just to examine your heart. It's you and God. It's nobody else can tell you. It's you and God. I think it's a wonderful thing to be able to confess our sins. It's not an embarrassing thing. It's a redeeming, it's a healing, it's a restorative kind of thing. And it's a good thing. And God's honored as we do that. So let's do that today. You know, when we look at the needs, and you have them in your bulletin, just pray for our people all this week with the prayer needs. But we're praying for Ori and Lenore Lemansky, Lauren Kastenbaum, DJ Jordan, and Sherry Grob. And they have some pretty big needs, as well as every other need that goes down here. There are big, big needs on this list. You know, it's interesting to me that Jesus' body was broken. The Bible says Peter, the Apostle Peter, wrote it. Isaiah prophesied of it. By his stripes, we are healed. Peter said, by his stripes, you were healed. I believe for healing. I've been praying for it for us for all this week, for miracles and healing. Nothing's too hard for God. Nothing. As we come to the table today, if you need healing in your body, as we take that little piece of bread from the bottom of that cup, and as you get ready to eat that in just a few moments, we'll do it together, but when you get ready, if you have a need, just surrender that need to God. God, heal me. I trust you. I believe. And even if you're like the fella in the Bible that says, I believe, Lord, but help my unbelief, if you have to do that, do that. The size of belief is, if it's the size of a grain of a mustard seed, can move mountains, can bring the answers. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this moment, for communion, for the table. Lord, I hold in my hand this bread that is a symbol of your body. The Bible says that you went on the way to the cross, that they put a crown of thorns upon your head and they crammed it in and blood flowed. They took you to a place where they hitched you up and they began to beat your back and they laid you wide open, and again you bled. Your body was broken so ours could be healed. And so today I break this bread symbolically as an act of remembrance and as an act of thanksgiving. Jesus, you're our healer. You're our provider. You're the one that gives and brings and does for us what no one else can. And God, the miracles that you performed, you opened blind eyes, you healed deaf ears, you made the lame to walk, you raised the dead. You say, I am the Lord your God. Is there anything too hard for me? God, my response is no. Nothing's too hard. So heal your people today. Restore your people today to wholeness. Lord, take away the cancers. Take away the dementia. Take away, Lord, these great things that we battle with in our bodies as we receive from your table today, as we individually partake of this bread and as we ingest it into our bodies. May there be a healing supernatural flow that comes and ministers to us. God, restore us. Restore our faith. Strengthen our faith. Quicken us today as we partake of this bread. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Would you take the bread and let's eat it together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for your healing. Let your healing flow, Holy Spirit, through this place. Minister to your children, God. Pour into our lives that which we need, that we might be strong, so we can serve you, so we can live our lives for you, Lord. We bless you this morning. We bless you. And Lord, we thank you for this cup. We thank you that it represents and is symbolic of the blood of Jesus, the precious blood. Lord, you went onto the cross after your beating and after the crown, and there they laid you on that wooden beam, and they took nails and they pierced them into your hands, into your feet. They hung you on that cross, and then they stood it up, and with a thud it went into the ground, and there you hung for the world to see. The Lamb of God, the Savior of the world, taking the sin of all of mankind. Lord, they took a spear and they pushed it into your side, and out came blood and water. Lord, I thank you today for the blood. I thank you today that it saves us, that it sanctifies us, and that it secures us. Lord, there's power in the blood, wonder-working power. And God, I pray that you would just make that word just alive to our faith and to our hearts today, that not one of us would leave this place not knowing Jesus and not desiring to be more like you and not knowing that we are victors, not victims. We are more than conquerors today through the blood of Jesus Christ over all the work of the enemy. And so, Lord, bless this cup as we partake of it today. As we receive it, as it symbolizes that precious blood, and as we take it in, may it just have a supernatural spiritual working effect in our lives, that we might be all that you've called us to be. And we thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for being the Lamb of God, slain from the foundations of this world. Bless us as we receive this cup, in Jesus' name. Let's receive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Steve's going to lead us in a congregational chorus, Holy, Holy, Holy. You may sing it, or you may just close your eyes and let the song minister to you as you think about what Jesus did for you. Ask him to increase your faith today. Ask him to bless you today. Ask him to move and work in your life today. Ask him to show you more of himself, more than you've ever seen, that you might know him more than you've ever known him before. Ask him those things as we worship.
If you want to stand with me as we sing this song together. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Let's sing.
Oh.
says in Revelations 4:8, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Amen. We're going to sing the fourth verse together. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name. Let's sing together. I'm so thankful that because he lives, because of what he did on the cross, how we just partake in the communion and everything, we can face tomorrow. Amen. Listen as Mike sings this verse. Join us in the chorus.
They called him Jesus. Came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior
is
because he lived.
Thing that we can remind ourselves about as we close out this day and begin this week. God, we walk into this week not defeated, not downcast, not discouraged. God, we may have walked into church that way, but we leave today standing in the provision of the blood of Jesus. We stand in the provision that by your body and your blood, we are more than champions and conquerors today. And because you live, because the grave could not hold you, death could not keep you, there is nothing that the enemy of our soul can do to keep us down if we keep our eyes upon Jesus. So Lord, I pray your blessing upon your people today. Watch over and protect as we leave this hall, as we go back to our respective homes or to a breakfast or a lunch later, whatever we do, may our minds be on you. May our hearts continue to rejoice and celebrate that Jesus is alive and we have the victory. Now, Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory and all of the honor for all that you've done and all that you do. And for the home that you prepared for us, you've got a place. God, our future is bright because of Jesus. Bless your people this week in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God be with you. God bless you. Have the most wonderful week. We'll see you soon.